tonight and to be part of this great event, and for which we believe God is going to do great things in Jesus' name. Can I get a big amen? How many of us are ready for the word of God? How many of us are ready for the word of God? Tonight wasn't part of our initial bill. This meeting should have closed on yesterday, but I felt greatly impressed upon my heart that the city which we live, the state which we live, is in dire need of a word from God. A word that cuts across all human strata. And I believe it will take the prophetic word of God. The Bible says, by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out. By a prophet she was preserved. We have been besieged. Our brothers, sisters have been kidnapped. Our homelands have been taken over. And we have no other place to turn but to God. Our marketplace is derelict, in need of salvation from above. And I ask our guests, if you'll be kind enough to add one more installment, regardless of his great itinerary. And I said, there's a call for Macedonia, come tonight. Sir, we have in this place people who are believing God, that tonight must be the night. There are people in this place who are crying out for more of His Spirit. Why don't you come and speak to us as one of us? The prophet said, I sat where they sat. You feel our pain, you feel, because you are sorrowful. And to the credit of the churches on the plateau who have all gathered here this evening, and that this atmosphere of great unity, I believe God is going to release a clarion call which will bring about divine transformation, and that indeed our city, our communities will not remain the same again. This is not a House of Rock meeting. We're hosting it, but we are grateful to say we have great support from all churches on the plateau, and I believe the time has come that we take the front seat in the Committee of Nations. And with Jesus' joy, please do rise in honor to God, that receive the gift of God for this hour to bring us the word of God. Please receive with Jesus' joy Apostle Joshua Selman.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise Jesus. Let me just say a few things and then we'll be seated. First, thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Please honor the angel over. Amen. Thank you. I truly am overwhelmed, not just by what has happened in the last few days, but I am honored that this is happening on the plateau. I made a statement yesterday and I said, no matter where we go to, no matter where we travel to, this is still home. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And I want to assure you by the mercies of God that no one standing here or around the overflows or following online will leave disappointed. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me also use this opportunity to truly, truly from the depth of my heart honor the veterans of the gospel scattered within the plateau. I'm aware that there are men and women who have labored, like Reverend Akila shared. I think we have come to a level of maturity in the body of Christ where we must sustain the discernment and the unashamedness to acknowledge and celebrate the corporate investment of the body of Christ. The days of superstar Christianity are over. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We We thank you.
Thank you.
We may, truthfully speaking, we may differ in our levels of doctrinal accuracy. We may differ in our levels of encounter based on our hunger and personal pressing to the things of God. We may differ as far as the systems of mentorship and maturity that we have exposed ourselves to can provide. But one thing remains sure, that we are a sincere people who love Jesus and will continue to do our best to see that within the time allotted for us here, that His kingdom comes and His name be praised. Therefore, please, everyone, I like you from the depth of your heart with every sense of responsibility. Help me honor the servants of God all across the plateau. Go ahead. Some of them are your pastors. Don't stop. Some of them are your prophets. Whilst you sleep, they are awake. Whilst you eat, they fast. Whilst you smile, they cry. Carrying the burden of the city. Most people have no idea of the attacks that come. Yeah. Thank you. Listen, probably this may be the first lesson for us tonight, corporately speaking. And I'm glad that I'm not speaking with any sense of prejudice or bias, because this is my own place also. But I will tell you this, there is a plague upon the plateau that we need to correct beginning from tonight. Do not be ashamed to celebrate those who God bring out of this place, who are changing the world in ministry, in business. Drop tribal sentiments, drop whatever it is. Listen, there are many people who have risen from this soil and are doing great things. We must strangle away the spirit of resentment and sarcasm, sustain the maturity and the unashamedness to celebrate what we see God doing with our people all across the globe. This is a culture that has been used in other regions, and it has helped to foster sustainability of influence. If we ignore the art of honor, and if we do not train our people, now I'm not saying this for me, God has been more than faithful to me. It would be evil for me to demand any extra honor. God has given me what many people may not get in many lifetimes, and I am grateful. But let me tell you this, if we do not learn honor, we will institutionalize disrespect for elders, for servants of God, for members of parliament, people in the government, and there will rise a generation that the language of honor and regard will be strange to. But in Jesus' name we say, God forbid. Are we together? We must learn to honor the investments and the sacrifices of people. And then for what is happening tonight, I truly believe that this is already a prophetic message to the plateau, that regardless the fact that we have numerous local governments, regardless the fact that we have cultural differences, we've had the antecedents of all kinds of divides, but the church is spearheading the campaign for unity. United we stand, and it is true that divided we fall. Can we start tonight's meeting by praying a prayer for the plateau? Lift your voice in 1 minute and pray. Father, we are still available. This state is still available. Work wonders in our midst. Raise a generation of men and women of fire. Are you praying? Is this how much you love the plateau? Pray. Those following online from whatever nation of the world, permit our bias, but would you lend your voice as we pray for the plateau, northeast, north central of Nigeria. Father, we pray. Let families experience your visitation. Let every church represented on the plateau experience such a move of the Spirit. We pray for unity. Unity that is stronger than our differences. Unity that is stronger than our pain. Unity that is stronger than any basis for divide. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. One more prayer point and then we'll be seated. We're going to pray for ourselves tonight and ask the Lord to give us very exact and tangible visitations. It is my personal conviction that at whatever spiritual level we find ourselves, there is always room for more. Even in heaven, John was told to come up hither. There is always space for more. Can we lift up our voices and cry to our Maker and our God, our King and our Lord? Many of us will carry mantles tonight. Many of us will watch prophecy fulfilled tonight. We honor you, our King, our Lord. We come with hearts desperate. We come with hearts hungry. We come with every sense of meekness and expectation.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
Help me with the chorus.
You are the one that we praise.
Father, tonight heal the sick. Tonight let the oppressed be delivered. More than what has happened in all the 2 days combined, give us very definite visitations. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Please be seated. God bless you. Let me encourage you, for those of you who I'm told there are hundreds of prayer requests already online, please do well to keep sending them for as many who need to. And then for us who are here on ground, please be sure to send in your requests for yourselves and then your loved ones. If you're yet to pass across yours, I'm sure that there are officials around. You may do well to just wave your request, wave it high enough for them to see. Someone is moving around with a basket and there are people waving, please. Ushers, let's do well. There are people in front. Can someone attend to them? So that we have the requests. Tonight, the Lord laid it in my heart to teach for a few minutes just to challenge our faith. Then we'll have the time to pray and allow the Holy Spirit again to glorify Jesus in this place. Tonight is a night of encounters. Tonight is a night of transformation by the Word of God. Tonight is a night of supernatural visitations. Tonight is a night of miracles, signs, and wonders. Tonight is a night of unity. And then tonight is a night of impartation. This is the part that I want us to be very sensitive about, because it starts right away. An impartation is a transference of spiritual possibilities. The possibilities of the kingdom are transferable. Virtues are transferable. Graces are transferable. And you know the kind, the dimension, and the level of grace that is upon you by the results that you command. And so I'd like for our hearts to be open with all meekness and humility to receive that which the Lord is doing. The God of miracles. I'm teaching tonight on the God of miracles. Psalm 72 and verse 18. Our God is a supernatural God. Our God is a miracle working God. It's a very important fact that I must stress. Our God is a supernatural God, and our God is a miracle working God. I'd like you to read with me, if you can see it projected, Psalm 72 and verse 18. Ready? Please read. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. The Bible lets us know that the God of Israel is a miracle worker. The God of Israel is a miracle worker. Let me again announce that the days of miracles are not over. No, God is still in the business of doing miracles. The days of miracles did not end with the book of Acts. It did not end with the early church. It did not end with the dispensation of the generals. It did not even end with our modern day patriarchs. As far as the history of the church and of Christianity is concerned in this nation. By the grace of God, I'm a student of history. I have studied revivals across continents. I have studied the history of the church in Nigeria. I've had the honor and the privilege to meet a few people in their lifetime before they transited. I've had the honor to talk with a few revivalists. I know what I am saying. Miracles are not ended. God is still in the business of lifting people. God is still in the business of healing the sick. God is still in the business of raising the dead. God is still in the business of turning lives around. God is still in the business of wiping the tears of they that cry. God is still in the business of supernaturally lifting people and shifting their levels from one dimension to the other. God is a miracle worker, and the days of miracles are only beginning, truthfully speaking. He's not changed. For in Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. The A part. It says, for I am the Lord and I change not. I am the Lord and I change not. If I was a miracle worker before, I am still a miracle worker. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Apostle Paul was teaching and he had this to say about Jesus. That Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. The same yesterday, the healer yesterday, the healer today, the healer forever. The lifter yesterday, the lifter today, and the lifter forever. If you are with me, say amen. Very quickly, what are miracles? We have to understand a bit about the supernatural. This, for me, as far as I'm concerned, is a crusade, even though it was intended to be a conference. And so, my teaching would be as basic as possible, because we have to give room for the ministry of the Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Miracles and the supernatural are the foundations of the Christian faith. You have to understand this. Everything about the faith life, from Genesis down to Revelation, is a communication of the supernatural and the communication of the miraculous. From Genesis, the first verse, to Revelation, the last verse, it's everything supernatural and everything miraculous. Are we together? Now let me say something very important. God is not a magician. God does not do magic. Magic is a demonic and satanic manipulation of spiritual laws, an attempt to aberrate and copy that which is divine. God does not do magic. God
does not work magic, but he is a miracle worker. He's not a magician. There are herbalists who practice magic. There are people all across the world who are experts as far as the manipulation of spiritual laws are concerned, and they seem to have provided a measure and a level of solutions. And so over the years, through their track record, they have been trusted. And sometimes we can bring these people side by side and just conclude that the most important thing is that there is a universal force that empowers them all. God is not a magician, but he is a miracle worker. It's always been God's desire all through scripture to display the supernatural on earth and then in the midst of his people. Every once in a while we see through scripture that there will be a spectacular demonstration of the divine hand of God over the lives and the affairs of men within territories. It will cause men to call upon the name of the Lord again. It will cause men to recognize his all-surpassing power above the then kings, above the spiritual forces that attempt to sabotage God's purposes. So God has always intended that his people never forget him as a miracle worker. What are miracles? Let's do a quick definition. Miracles are supernatural occurrences. Miracles are supernatural occurrences that defy the laws of nature. Supernatural occurrences that defy the laws of nature or the usual course of events. Miracles defy the laws of nature, and they also defy the usual course of events. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible, from the Old Testament down to the life and the ministry of Jesus, and then to the ministry of the apostles, was full of all kinds of miracles. Right from creation in Genesis 1, let me run through a few, you don't have to write, just listen. Down to Enoch's translation, the Bible talks of the miracle of the flood, even though historically there are still all kinds of arguments as to whether the flood in the days of Noah really happened. But based on the authority of scripture, we know that there was such an event. It was not a parable. There was such an event on earth where the entire earth was flooded with water. The miracle of the donkey speaking in Numbers 22. The burning bush, for instance. Moses in the house of Pharaoh advocating the exodus of the nation of Israel. And all the plagues that followed until Pharaoh gave in. These are manifestations of the hand and the power of God. We read about the pillar of cloud and fire by day and by night. We read about manna sent from heaven, the Bible records. We read about water from the rock in Rephidim. You find that in Exodus 17. We read about the mysterious and the strange defeat of the enemies of Israel all through scripture. These are examples of miracles. The supernatural division of Jordan, River Jordan. The Bible talks about men who were unusually empowered like Samson, who tore beasts with their bare hands, defeated the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, removed gates over cities. We read about a man called Elijah the Tishbite, who single-handedly shut the heavens, and that for a period of 3.5 years there was no rain in that land. Supernatural manifestations of the hand of God. The Bible talks to us about the widow's son who was raised from the dead, fire coming from heaven to consume men, the healing of the waters in Jericho. The Bible talks to us about several other miracles. The miraculous restoration of Naaman. The Bible talks about the axe head that had to float against gravity. I'm showing you instances from scripture. A display of miracles, signs, and wonders. The preservation of Jonah in the belly of the fish. How could a man be in the belly of the fish for 3 days? Defy all the laws of biology. And then come out with a message from the belly of the fish. God is a miracle worker. Then we read of the miracles in the ministry of Jesus. John chapter 2 starts by telling us the miracle of the wine in the wedding in Cana. Jesus Christ himself healing the demoniac in the synagogue, healing Peter's mother-in-law, the draught of fish, and the miracle that followed. The impotent man who was healed in Jerusalem, John 5. The servant of the centurion, the widow of Nain, Jairus' daughter. These are all supernatural manifestations of the power of God. The feeding of the 5,000 with 2 loaves and 5 fish. One of the synoptics record the feeding of the 4,000 also. The transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Money coming out from the mouth of a fish. That means God can go to any length to see to it that they that call upon his name do not suffer shame. May that be a word for someone tonight. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God. All kinds of miracles. Time will fail me to begin to do a comprehensive rundown of these manifestations. The greatest of them that we know is the miracle of resurrection, where the Son of the Living God gave himself up and he was locked, the Bible says, and there were servants all around. But at the third day, the Bible says, an angel came, rolled the stone, sat on it. It's not a parable. It actually happened. And the Son of the Living God, raised up by the Spirit of Holiness, he rose from the grave without blood in his body. All the blood had been drained and yet he was still alive. What manner of man is Jesus, we sing. God is a God of miracles. He appeared to the disciples, admonished them over a period of 40 days, and then levitated right before them into the heavens. They waited 10 more days in fear. Then a supernatural event happened again. God is a God of miracles. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, when you start from verse 1, it says, now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that they were gathered together in one accord, then it says, suddenly a miracle happened. There was a sound like it was in Ezekiel 37. And it came and filled the room. And they saw what looked like cloven tongues as of fire. These events actually happened on the earth. Rested upon each and every one of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was the beginning of the manifestation of the church. Supernatural. In one day, 3,000 people came to Jesus Christ. Then you read through the book of Acts, the spectacular display of the mighty hand of God. How could you say the days of miracles are over? The Bible talks about serpents that could not harm the apostles. The Bible talked of people who died and brought themselves back to life. God is a God of miracles. I had the honor and the privilege to have witnessed firsthand the miracle and the ministry of our dearly beloved evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. I was right there on that crusade ground. I remember like yesterday. I attended that crusade the first day. I saw spectacular miracles. And by the second day, I made up my mind that I wanted to sow that seed of honor to that man before he would transit in glory. I wheeled people from the wheelchair myself. They had stopped me because they said I was not part of the committee. I said, you're joking. You don't know how far I traveled to be part of this crusade. Committee or no committee, I must sow that seed of honor. And while I was wheeling people from the wheelchair, I said, Lord, this is how it will also happen one day in my meeting. I am honoring someone you have lifted. Right before my eyes, I saw people stand from wheelchairs. Right before my eyes, like we saw yesterday, I saw people lifting crutches and walking. And I said, what in the world is this? God is a miracle worker. Hebrews chapter 11 is an archive of men and women who walked the earth like gods, placing their faith on God Almighty and did valiantly on earth. Here's how the Bible puts it. That time will fail me to talk of Gideon and Jephthah and Barak, men who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, shut the mouth of lions, women who received their dead back to life. Please shout with me, God is a miracle worker. One more time, just, God is a miracle worker. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. This was Paul giving his sermon on the day of Pentecost. And here's what he said. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, not by stories, not by parables. God approved Jesus. He validated that Jesus was actually sent through the spectacular manifestation of miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him, not in the absence of you, in the midst of you. Just like it will happen shortly in this place, that right in the midst of you, the Spirit of the living God will be having a holy convocation through this crowd, setting the captives free, healing the sick, and bringing liberty to as many in the name of Jesus Christ. God is a miracle worker. In John chapter 2, chapter 20, and verse 21, Jesus is preparing, finalizing his days on earth so he would transit back in glory as a victorious Savior and King. And here's what he had to say. Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, Joshua Selman, even so I send you. As my Father has sent me, please, every man of God, hear me. There is a way God sent Jesus. He sent him with an anointing, not just a message. He sent Jesus with a great provable unction. He didn't just send him with a well-meaning, comforting message. He said, as my Father had sent me, in that similitude I send you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And verse 12. In fact, please back up a bit. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. We'll read verse 1, then we'll read verse 7. Matthew chapter 10. This is Jesus test-running the disciples who would later become the apostles of the Lamb. This was the instruction he gave them. Verse 1, then we go to 7. And when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, listen carefully, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 7, please. And he said, as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prove the reality of this message by, verse 8, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils. These are the proofs that the kingdom has come. That if these realities are not true, then we have a right to doubt the reality of the kingdom in our midst. If it is true that Jesus is alive, if it is true that he conquered death, hell, and the grave, there must be tokens of that victory. And the signs and the wonders that have been experienced in the church and that will be experienced tonight are tokens of that victory. It is true that Jesus is alive, and it is true that God still works miracles. The requests that are scattered here in the bowls and on the social media platforms are representations of the pain, the ills, the concerns of so many across the plateau. How would God be such a benevolent father and look down from heaven and watch these sheets representing the pain of families, and then allow us gather like this only to share the grace and return back in misery? If you were God, you would not respond to such hunger that way. I assure you tonight that these Egyptians you see, you will see them no more forever. One more time, I prophesy that these Egyptians you see over your ministry, over your life, in the name of Jesus, you will see them no more forever. Please sit down. In John 14 and verse 12, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do," this is scripture, "the works that I do, shall he also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Mark 16 from verse 17. Mark 16 from verse 17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." If you are a believer, please shout, "I am a believer." It said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils." In my name, leave that scripture there. "They shall cast out devils." In my name, they shall cast out devils. Whilst I am speaking right now, the power of God is touching people. I want you to bring them out. There are all kinds of demonic cases right now being addressed by the Spirit of God, because he said, "In my name, I declare that any spirit that is not of the Christ located within this vicinity, in the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, I come against you now. In the name of Jesus, help them. I come against you now. In the name of Jesus, I come against you now. In the name of Jesus, I come against you now." Don't bring people out at random. Those under the anointing, the power of God is touching people. The power of God is touching people. Just bring those under the anointing. "In my name, they shall cast out devils." In my name, they shall cast out devils. I'm not sure that, what's that, he's sick? What's wrong with him? Okay, I'm going to pray for the sick. I'm talking about those who are under the anointing right now. As I'm speaking, I'm seeing what looks like fire. I'm explaining this scripture for you. I'm seeing what looks like fire, and it's resting on people from the front to the back. I'm seeing chains even breaking right now as I speak. And I declare in the name of Jesus, my God, please help them. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, those chains be broken right now. Please, ushers, help them. I'm only talking about those under the anointing. My dear, look at me. Even though I've not started praying for the sick, but since you are out, let me pray for you. Ushers, can you help coordinate the people so that we make sure that only the people that just bring those under the anointing, that's the instruction. Please, someone just help coordinate them. The Lord is setting people free right now. My dear, do you believe in Jesus? Shout Jesus as loud as you can. You. That's not how to shout. Out of her now. In the name of Jesus Christ. And the little one is her daughter. Baby, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, every demon and every devil that oppresses you gives way now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In my name, please keep that scripture. This is not a parable. In my name, they shall cast out devils. We're going to shout that name once whilst we're seated. And as I see four horns. These are the horns that have lifted up themselves against Judah and Jerusalem, so that no man doth lift up his head. He said, but I have sent four carpenters. Again, I decree and declare that every influence around this vicinity that is not the Christ, it comes under judgment right now in the name of Jesus. It comes under judgment right now in the name of Jesus. It comes under judgment right now in the name of Jesus. Please give us that scripture. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18. In my name, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall lay hands on the blind. They shall lay hands on cripples. They shall lay hands on the deaf. They shall lay hands on those with terminal diseases. And the Bible says they shall recover. Someone shout, God is a miracle worker. One more time, shout, God is a miracle worker. Now listen, please. We're about to pray shortly. I want to explain something very briefly. The dynamics of the supernatural. Inasmuch as God is a miracle worker, you must understand the spiritual operation of the miraculous. But please allow me to pray for those in front so that they go and sit. In the name of Jesus. Everyone here in front, under any influence that is not of the Christ, I come with the rod of a higher priesthood, and I command those forces, go now, 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 out of their lives, out of their destinies, out of their families, in the name of Jesus. Everything stolen be recovered now, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the Bible declares, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We enforce liberty. Blotting out every handwriting, the Bible says, and every ordinance that spoke against us, he nailed it to his cross. Every legal access upon which the devil lays claim on your life and family, I declare you are free right now in the name of Jesus. You are free right now in the name of Jesus. You are free right now in the name of Jesus. Father, these ones who have come out in the name that is above all names, for them and for their families, they will never return to this again. We build a spiritual fortification around your life. You will never forget this crusade. In the name of Jesus. Everything that was lost shall be returned unto you. Everything that was stolen shall be restored unto you. Everything that was lost shall be returned unto you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now for those who are fine, they can return back to their seat. Let me touch on this very quickly. Hallelujah. There is, now I don't know how we're going to do this now, my God. There is someone at the back. You came with a crutch. Lift that crutch up and walk now. Please. Lift your crutch and walk now. In the name of Jesus. Look at it. Lift your crutch. Walk. 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 Lift your crutch and walk. Look at this. A miracle has happened there. My God.
Just, is this how you celebrate the miracle working God? Hallelujah. The Lord is showing me another person. You came, I don't know, there is, if it's a crutch or something that is assisting you, like an aid. Right now, the power of God is touching you. I'm going to pray for the sick, but this is just an instruction God is giving me. Whoever that person is, don't be afraid. Lift it up and walk. Lift it up and walk. Lift it up and walk. Don't be afraid. Lift it up and walk. I don't know if there's someone like that. Lift it up and walk. We'll be seated shortly. The devil is a liar. Lift it up and walk. My dear, look at me. How long have you been with this?
This is 7 months.
There's a miracle happening somewhere. Celebrate Jesus. Please guide them. Those who, if there's someone like that and God is doing a miracle, let's. Someone, a wheelchair. There's a miracle there. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise. Give Jesus praise, Joss. Is this how you celebrate miracles? We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what. Celebrate Jesus.
Let our hearts know you. Come and do what you do.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let me have a mic, please. I want to talk to this lady. Another miracle is happening somewhere. Please hold on. Be careful with them so that they don't injure them. Look at the lady. My dear, look at me. Hold on. Who brought this lady? How long has it been?
For the past 8 years.
For the past 8 years.
She's the knife of King Dipen.
Hold on, please. Is this mic working? Please help us. Kidney failure. September last year. My sister, look at me. In the name of Jesus, walk. Come. 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 Careful with her so she doesn't fall. I command that devil out of her now. In the name of Jesus. Are you celebrating miracles? Please just help her. Let her get somewhere and sit down. Let me talk with this lady. What's your name, my dear? Please, someone manage them just as we celebrate miracles. Just give them somewhere to sit so they are not stressed. Yes, please.
My name is Gloria.
Someone, a crutch, someone has been healed right now.
We are here for you.
Please lift your voice and begin to pray. Everything that must change, let it change in my life right now. God is already touching people. Are you praying? Someone is praying. Hallelujah. Please. Hallelujah. Look at me. Mama, be careful. Don't stretch yourself. How long has this been? Who is with the mic? Okay. How many years?
8 years.
8 years. You live in just here?
Yes, sir.
What's your name, ma?
My name is Stella.
Stella. From where, ma? What area?
Tudunwada.
Tudunwada.
Yes,
you believe in miracles?
Mm.
Place your hand there. Father, in the name of Jesus, perfect this woman right now. The power of the Holy Ghost is touching you. Now. Now. In the name of Jesus, help her. The power of God is coming upon her. Just keep her down there. In the name of Jesus, let it be over forever.
Let me talk with this girl. What's your name, my dear?
My name is Gloria.
From where?
From Bukuru.
How long has this been?
August last year.
August last year?
Yes, sir.
You had to use the crutch?
Yes, sir.
How were you walking before? Let me see. Use the crutch. Let me just see how you were walking with the crutch. This is how you used to walk. When you came here, was this how you were walking? Now lift it and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, the Lord perfects you right now. In the name of Jesus. We'll be praying for the sick shortly. This was just an instruction that God gave me. Please let them find somewhere to sit. But before we sit, there is someone, you came here. Is this my left or right? This is left. Your left ear, you could not hear with it. You couldn't hear with it. Check yourself now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, check it right now. You check it, you find out that a miracle just happened. A miracle just happened. A miracle just happened. I rebuke deafness of all sorts. In the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus. Deafness of all sorts. In the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus, let there be a supernatural miracle for you. In Jesus' name. Can we finish up what we are teaching before we pray? Please sit, please sit, please sit. God is doing mighty things in this place. Praise the Lord. Now let me explain something very quickly, and then we will pray. For a very long time, believers have found the subject of the miraculous mysterious. I want to explain something, please. And respectfully speaking, if you're a minister of the gospel here, you may want to listen. Because I found it strange for many years why, even though we read from scripture that miracles should be a common occurrence of believers, more so servants of God, but the reason why we do not see these experiences. And then I got to a point where, what's that? What's happening? What is that, please? Please, ushers, make sure you verify whatever it is. What's that? What's happened? Oh, the ears have opened. My God. My friend, look at me. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. What's your name? Huh?
Israel.
Israel.
Yes.
What's your name, sir?
Yomasa.
How long have you had this? Since you were born. Is this how you celebrate miracle in Jos? Amazing. Oh, this lady, her ears open too. Look at this. Look at this. Stand up. My friend, where is the gentleman? Stand up. From the day you were born. Close the ear. Come. Oh dear. Just put the mic close to him. Just turn. Don't look at me. Just say what you think I'm saying. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise. My friend, look at me. You believe in miracles now?
Yes, sir.
Because you love Jesus?
Yes, sir. I do.
I'll pray for you. It's not enough to receive miracles. You must be empowered to go and represent the same. My friend, look at me. How long? What's your name?
My name is Israel.
Israel, how long have you had this?
I think since 2006.
2006. How many years is that?
More than almost
15 years. Which of the ear?
Left.
The left. Put your hand there. My dear, what's your name?
Favor.
How long has this been?
Last year.
What happened? Just like that.
Yes.
This is how you know that this is the devil. Why will you have God give you ears and for no reason it just stops? Was this verified medically?
You went to the hospital.
Yes.
Which hospital?
Jordan Air Force.
Air Force. Where's? Oh, okay. There's a hospital like that. I'm so sorry. The reason why we do this is because, I guess, because of some of these things that happen around any spectacular manifestation, people think it's stage managed. So sometimes it's forced us to have to go out of our way. Not everybody is fake. There are people who have paid their price in God genuinely, and they carry genuine grace. I think I need to say this. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, perfection, this miracle you have done in their lives, it remains so. My God, we'll so celebrate miracles this night. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare by the Spirit of grace, it will never return to you again. In Jesus' name, celebrate them as they return back to their seat. Praise the Lord. Now, please listen. I'm about to share something very important. We've had an age-old controversy, especially in the body of Christ. And there's been, as far as manifesting the supernatural is concerned, and I just want to place a balance to this. We've had people who believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and they may not place that much value on the Word of God. For instance, we can just be singing here and then miracles begin to happen. And so there are people who have obtained results that way, and they downplay the necessity of the Word and of Scripture. They believe that the singular factor responsible for the miraculous is the Holy Spirit. And then there are others who believe that it is just the Word of God. If the Word of God is not here, that you cannot receive. So there's been a controversy between those who are, in quotes, the Spirit people and those who are the Word people. This has been so for ages. Both of them are right, but both of them are incomplete. The ministry of the Word and the Spirit is not a choice for you to choose one. They go together. And I want to explain to you the roles that they play as far as the manifestation of spiritual reality is concerned. The Bible never said in the beginning was the Spirit. It says in the beginning was the Word. So we understand that in order of precedence, it is the Word of God. Listen to me. The Word of God defines the jurisdiction and the boundary of His commitment in the life of a believer. God cannot be committed to a believer outside of the jurisdiction of Scripture. You have to understand this. The Word of God defines the coordinates of God's commitment. Every time your demand or your action is out of the provisions allowed from Scripture, God loves you, but you cannot secure His attention nor His commitment. You have to understand this. The assignment of the Spirit through the anointing is to give credence and performance to the Word. Please understand this. The Holy Spirit shows up through His anointing to honor the Word that is spoken. That means if the Word for healing goes forth, listen carefully, that Jesus said, in my name, the sick will be healed. Because that Word has been proclaimed and the Word has been honored, the assignment of the Holy Spirit is to ensure that the healing anointing is sufficiently experienced to make sure the anointing has the assignment of validating the Word. The assignment of the anointing is to ensure that God does not look like a liar. So the anointing has no assignment when the Word has not been proclaimed. Because the assignment of the anointing gives credence to the Word. Are we together now?
Yes.
So if I say blind eyes be opened, that is a word that came from the Lord. It is the anointing that goes forth from the Spirit and brings performance to that word. So when we celebrate open eyes, then it is proven now experientially that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So the idea of emphasizing the Spirit as against the Word, or the Word as against the Spirit, is unnecessary. It's like fuel and a car. The assignment of the fuel
is to make sure that the car moves to its designated place. But fuel in a jerry can in itself is not useful. The value of that fuel is when it functions in a car. Are you getting what I'm saying now? The word of God is like that car, and the anointing is like the fuel. If you have the car alone, even if it is a latest whatever it is of a car, if it does not have the fuel, it will be there but not be able to do much. So if all you have is word with no spirit, you will keep speaking a lot of theological dissertations with no grace for performance. And if all you have is spirit, you will not know when you have delved into occultism, because the word of God that creates the boundary is not there. The realm of the spirit is a vast realm, and the Holy Spirit is not the only spirit there. So the word of God gives you balance. I don't know if God has helped somebody this night. So when we celebrate the manifested presence of God, when we celebrate His anointing, it is because the factor that confirms the word is there. Now we can speak boldly, knowing that the grace that makes for performance is there. All of the people who God healed here, they came sick, and even though I was preaching and what I was saying was the word of God, they still were not healed until the word for their healing. So the Holy Ghost will keep hovering. His assignment is to confirm the word spoken, not the word available. The word spoken, the word declared, not the word available, the word spoken. And God said, light be, and there was. And God said, light be, and there was. Are we blessed now? Yes. Now, believers, listen please. We have a participatory role to play as far as the manifestation of the supernatural and the miraculous is concerned. I must quickly say this. There's been a narrative for a very long time that believers do not have any role to play. If God wants to heal me, He will heal me, we say. That's a very well-intentioned statement, but it is not accurate. Are we together now? Yes. Oftentimes we'll see in scripture Jesus telling sick people, what do you desire that I do for you? Even when He met obvious situations, you would think when He met blind Bartimaeus on his way going out of Jericho and He called upon him, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, you would think it would be obvious that he needed healing from his blind eyes. If you understand the way God works, you will know the kind of respect He has for the will of man. God will not assume that you need healing. He respects your will that much. Even at the detriment of your eternal destiny, He still allows you to make a choice. There are people going to hell today, even though the victory of Christ over sin, over death, over Satan is a reality. Are we together? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You must verbalize your commitment. In fact, here's how it puts it. It says, be anxious for nothing, but it says, in everything by prayer and supplication, even with thanksgiving, make your request known. Don't assume God knows it. Make your request known. And so this request that we have is in honor to that scripture. Make your request known. Let the Lord know you need healing. Let Him know that you need to step into new levels. Let Him know you are tired of your current level. Don't say, God, you are watching me and doing nothing. You have to make your request known. Hear me? The name given to your participatory role, as far as the manifestation of the miraculous is concerned, is called faith. Faith. I did explain, I think in one of the sessions, was it the first or the morning service yesterday, how that faith is more than believing. For a very long time we call believing faith. Believing is part of the equation. Believing has to do with conviction. You're agreeing with God, but that is not enough to the faith equation. Faith is the name given to the action you take based on your conviction on who God is and the integrity of His word. The name given to the action, not just the declaration, not just the believing. Believing comes from the word pistis, and it's not enough. It has to be action. I demonstrated it here yesterday.
Many people continue to believe, as we call it, and we believe in definitely without a manifestation. There has to be an action of obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1 and 2, it shall come to pass, the Bible declares, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord to do and observe all that I command you this day, then you shall be exalted above all the nations of the earth, and this blessing shall come upon you and overtake you. Joshua 1 verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, not just to say, not just to wish, to do, according to all that is written therein. Then, and only then, shall thou make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Are we together? So faith, very important. Theologically speaking, there are three places in scripture where you would hear the statement, your faith has made you whole. The first is in Matthew chapter 9 from verse 20 to 22. This was the narrative of the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible lets us know that this woman said to herself, watch her act of faith now. She had spent money, the Bible says, on physicians, doctors, and she could not become better. Hearing and seeing Jesus pass, she said to herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If she just stopped at saying, she would remain in that issue forever. She had to take that step. It was a risk. And when she touched Jesus, the Bible says that she touched the hem of his garment. Verse 21, please. It says, for she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. 22. It says, Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith, what faith? The summation of everything you did as touching your confidence in me. Your contemplation, your speaking, backed up by your action, called faith. This is what made you whole. Not your speaking alone. Not your wishing to be healed alone. From your wishing, your desire, because the Bible says, what things soever ye desire. So it starts with desire. When ye pray, it says, believe that thou receivest it and thou shalt have it. Your desire, the confession, the action of faith that you take, all together, the Bible calls it faith. It says, that's what played to bring your healing. Are we together? Second story that proves that faith is important as far as the manifestation of the God of miracles is in Luke chapter 17. It's a long reading, but we may not read it for time's sake. From verse 11 to 9, the story of the 10 lepers. The Bible says that Jesus was passing and there were 10 lepers. Desiring to be healed, he told them, get up. Prove that you believe me by taking that risk. Go and show yourself to the priest. The Bible says, whilst they went, not whilst they spoke, not whilst they taught, they had to stand up and take actions of obedience. And whilst they went, they discovered that they were cleansed. And the Bible says one returned and gave thanks, etc. But the message is that they had to get up and move. They had to get up and take action. Last scripture. Mark chapter 10. From verse 46 to 52. Long reading again, just write it for reference. The Bible talks about a blind man who was healed. He saw blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He sat by the highway begging. You're tempting me to read and finish that scripture. Well, let's read. We've started. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, so he started with his hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. The Bible says he began to cry out and say. So we see that it moved from hearing to his saying, verbalizing his intent. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. 48. We are reading to 52. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. That means distractions are not unusual when you are manifesting faith. There were people who tried to shut him down. But he cried the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Next verse, please. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And when they called the blind man, the Bible recognizes his blindness. Jesus said unto him, be of good cheer, rise, he calleth you. Okay, he was asked, and then
He casted away his garment and what? Rose. He would have sat there and said, I don't need to stand. All I need is healing in my eyes. He would have remained there. He had to take that step, even though blind. At the instance of the word, he took that step. And the Bible calls it faith. 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, seems like a silly question, but this is the extent to which God has regard for the will of man. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the man politely answered, the blind man, that I may receive my sight. Tonight, don't just say, God, help me. It looks like a good prayer, but the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. You have to mention what you desire. Don't just say, Lord, just help me. My life, I don't even understand what is happening. Whatever you can do is a very well-meaning, well-intentioned communication, but there is no faith there. Give us this day, and you mention what you want, our daily bread. Are we together? And Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy faith. Here you find it again. Thy faith had made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let me wrap up this brief teaching session by sharing what I think is most important, seldom forgotten when we are dealing with the subject of miracle signs and wonders. What is the purpose of miracles? Why does God reveal himself as a miracle working God? God is a God of purpose. He does nothing just for the fun of it. We have to learn to discern miracles. If we do not discern the purpose and the intent of miracles, then it is usually very difficult for Christ to be glorified in the midst of miracles. Number one, there are two biblical reasons why miracles happen. Number one, to reveal the love of the Father. The first assignment of the miraculous is to demonstrate practically that God's communication about his love for his people is not a lie, is not a scam. John 3:16, the character of love is that it always gives. For God so loved the world that he gave, not just desired, he gave. If it is true that God is a loving God, it must be demonstrated in the extent of his benevolence. Our confidence as we receive is that the fatherhood of God is still in place in our lives. You must be ever conscious of the fatherhood of God. He said, which of you being evil, which of you will your son ask for bread and you give him a stone, ask for meat, fish, and you give him a serpent? He said, if you being evil, even though you are evil, you have that sense of empathy, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts? Other version say the Holy Ghost. God is a giver. Please say after me, God is a giver. The reason why we are receivers is because he is a giver. The revelation of the love of God. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 8. Apostle John was teaching and admonishing us. 1 John 4 and verse 8. The Bible says that he that does not love does not know God. For God is love. God does not have love. God is love. So when he demonstrates miracles, signs and wonders, there is a message behind the blind eye opening. There is a message behind the cripple walking. Listen carefully. There is a message behind the demoniac being delivered. There is a message behind one who is poor, sitting on the ground, being lifted overnight to the place of princes. Every supernatural manifestation of God has a message. The miracle is for you, but the message is what helps you to see the intent of God in it. Most times we celebrate the miracles. We even celebrate the man who God used, the vessel. But we do not discern the message behind miracles. So from tonight, when you experience miracles, don't just celebrate and dance and say, God is good, he's done me well. Discern the message. Behind every miracle that has happened, that will happen this night and the days that follow, there is a message.
do not enjoy the miracle alone. Make sure you are discerning enough to see the message that is back of it. Someone shout amen. Hallelujah. Number two, why does God reveal himself as the God of miracles? What is the purpose of the supernatural and the miraculous? To show and reveal his might and his power. To show and to reveal his might and his power, drawing men to salvation and causing men to honor him. You have to understand this. God works miracles. He reveals himself as a God of miracles to show, to reveal his might and his power, drawing men to salvation and causing men to honor him. There's a long reading when you read Daniel chapter 3 for reference. From verse 1 to 30 is a long reading. You read about the events that happened in Babylon, when a 90-foot stature of gold, a man who decided that he had been so exalted he will be God, and he built a stature that at the sound of musical instruments, the timbrel, etc., that everyone would bow. And the Bible says there were three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who, although they had the fortitude to honor the king, they made up their mind that on that matter, on the matter of idolatry, they would not bow. The consequence is that the fire was made 7 times hotter and they were thrown into the fire. But a miracle happened there. That as soon as they got into that fire, the chains and everything melted away like wax before the fire. And they saw one in their midst who was like the Son of God. In the end of it, let's look at Daniel chapter 3. I hope I'm right. Verse, at least let's look at 27. Maybe the last three verses. Daniel chapter 3. The Bible says, and the princes, look up, governors and captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw this man upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Ah, powerful statement. The fire. So there are some bodies on earth that fire has no power over. There are bodies, there are families. A body does not just mean a human body. A ministry can be a body. A business can be a body. There are bodies that orchestrations of darkness has no authority. Reminds me what Jesus said. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nor was the hair of their head singed. Neither was their coat changed. Nor the smell of fire had passed on them. A decree was passed as a result. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, as a result, the purpose of miracles. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I do not know his name, but I will name him after those who know him. When God works a miracle in your life, that testimony can give God a name through your life. Why do you think he's called the God of Abraham? Then the God of Isaac. Your assignment is to spend your lifetime giving God a new name by the spectacular manifestation of the wonders that he works through your life. That you should not depart from earth and all they know is that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Something about your experience with God should give him a name. Please keep that scripture. We're wrapping up. The Bible says, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and has changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Very interesting. Two more verses. 29. Therefore, someone, because of what God is doing in your life, what had been the prior decrees about to be changed tonight. In the name of Jesus. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, every nation, every language which speak anything amiss against the God of this gentleman shall be cut in pieces and their houses be made a dunghill, because, hallelujah, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. There is a way God does miracles.
He does it the way Julius Berger built roads, or most of the construction companies. How many of you have seen a standard construction company building a road or doing some kind of architectural work? They do it in a way that you know is them. They leave a little signature. If Julius Berger builds you a place, you will see a little symbol B, so that you do not confuse. Don't give the credit to the wrong people. So there is a way other gods heal. There is a way other gods change lives. But there is a way my God and your God does it. He does it in a way that everybody knows that this one, it was El Shaddai that lifted you. It was El Shaddai that gave you a new song. My Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. As a result of this, the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. We discern miracles when we see the love of Jesus revealed through them. We discern miracles when we see the might of God revealed through them. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horses and its riders have been thrown into the sea. That was the song of Miriam when they saw the matchless hand of God. Listen to me. I am a recipient of miracles myself. Right in this city, I was diagnosed of situations that only God would do a miracle for me. I remember it today like it happened yesterday. A mysterious infection that I could not explain wanted to eat up my head completely. Every kind of medical consultation failed right in this city. Medical experts, I remember the pain of taking samples of the injuries. I remember being in the lab and having several lab attendants do their best. I remember they came up with a lotion, they came up with soap to help me, and it was a miracle that hair would still grow on my head. God is a God of miracles. Listen, it's one thing to preach what you read in the Bible. It's another thing to preach what has happened in your life. Sometimes God allows us to go through certain things so we can have sufficient compassion to administer that dimension of grace. Some of us are too innocent. We are too separated from what we are helping people from. That's why the compassion to insist until they are healed, until they are delivered. I remember that night. I went to bed and I woke up in the morning and there was a miracle. Supernatural miracles. I'm not exaggerating. More than 70% of the wounds had disappeared. What is this? I had read, watched videos, but this is happening to me, not some person in the U.S. I have been a benefactor of the miraculous. I remember a time in my life, I couldn't look at this light you see. If I looked at it for over 5 minutes, my eyes would burn. Burn literally. I remember talking with a consultant who had done everything, written the focal length of the glasses that would be made and all of that. And I said, Lord, I don't have a problem with this, but I'm a young man. And I didn't even know that I had the call of God upon my life. But I just knew there was something burning in me. Please listen carefully.
I remember watching Benny Hinn. He was ministering. And I got down on my knees with childlike faith. I said, Lord, I don't know this man, but I believe him. And suddenly he said, there's a young man you are watching from Africa. And there's a problem with your eyes. Light, not vision, physically, from the television, came and entered my eyes. Till today, I have 20/20 vision. I know what it means to be a benefactor and a recipient of miracles. We're about to pray, but I cannot end without telling you my story. I began my pursuit for God, loving Him, but I had a dissatisfaction in my heart. I listened to sermons, I went to churches, I saw well-meaning people loving the Lord, but I saw the sick remaining sick. I saw oppressed people remaining oppressed. We sang hymns, we sang songs that communicated the power of God. And I read those hymns, powerful hymns that talked about the mighty hand of God. Hymns like, up from the grave he arose with the mighty triumph on his hands. He arose the victor. I read those hymns and I said, no, something is wrong. I had powerful messages. And in the midst of those messages, I saw people who I knew were oppressed. I said, there has to be something more than this.
We're tired of the status quo. There's gotta be more than this. It's gotta be more. For desperate people do desperate things, and we're pressing in. It's gotta be more, gotta be more. It's gotta be more than this.
Listen, when the Lord called me to ministry, I said, Lord, please, I cannot stand before your people and keep advocating truths that I cannot defend. I do not want to tell people things that I will go back to the room and say, did I lie? I didn't want to advocate dimensions that could not be defended. My hunger, first for God and for his genuine fire, reached the heavens. Days became weeks. Weeks became months. Months became years. There is a way you desire God that you know if you do not find him, you will die. I'm not talking of looking for God for a sermon. I'm not talking about looking for him for money and cars and houses. There is a law that governs encounters. When you seek him with all your heart, you will truly find him. Please listen to my story. One night, I was lying down quietly, minding my business, and a spectacular miracle happened. All of a sudden, from a direction I could not explain, here he walked into my room, his majesty, my desire of years, the one who preachers spoke about. Jesus was standing right before me. The one who died, that Nazarene. I could look at any part of his body forever and not be tired. Brilliant. I'm telling you, I still do not know how his face looks like. I was like a speck of dust on the floor. I didn't know, how do I start worshiping this man? Do I bow down? Do I kneel down? Do I sing him a song? What do I offer such an august visitor? Please listen to me. Because some of you are in a phase where you are about to have such encounters. He never spoke a word to me. All he did was to stretch his right hand towards me. And light. Imagine carrying the sun. Help those under the anointing, please. Light from him is like taking the sun and putting it inside an ant.
How I did not die is something I will ask him when we get to heaven. I have seen the one we talk about. Let me tell you this. The first time I saw Jesus, I knew that many people do not know him. No. You know, today people say they saw Jesus. It's not for me to argue with anyone. But if it's the Jesus I saw that you saw, you will never be the same. No matter whether you believe it or not. Read your Bible and see what happened to people when they met him. It took me more than 1 year to recover from that encounter. He stretched his hands and light came. Now watch this. He didn't have to open his mouth, yet he was talking to me. That was the first time I discovered that the language of God is not Hebrew. The language of God is not Greek. The language of God is not Hausa. It's not English. The language of God is light. The entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding to the simple. Listen to me. After that encounter, I opened my Bible and I could not believe again. It was like a straight line was drawn from Genesis to Revelation. I started knowing things I did not remember studying them. Where is this revelation coming from? In another encounter, listen to me. I was standing and I saw a crowd of people like this. It was a whole generation of people. And they were crying and saying there is no food and there is no water. I said, who is the cause? And they pointed to me. I said, no, I can't do this. Why will I deprive you of food and water? But I was afraid because in that vision, it's like there were people who were following me to persecute me. And I was afraid. But I made up my mind. I said, if I perish, I perish. As soon as I opened the door, I saw a giant gray-headed man that I now know to be a similitude of the Holy Spirit. He said, give me your hands. I will walk with you. And he held me. And that began the ministry of the Spirit that you now see today. Sometimes it's important that we explain this. Please don't misunderstand me. This is not a show of pride at all. I was praying one night and I was caught up to the realm of the Spirit. Please help them. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, son, from this day, I give you my manifest presence as a gift. I didn't even understand what you were saying. What is the meaning of this? All of a sudden, I see this angel stand before me. And he said, this angel will walk with you across every nation and every place. And he said, his name is the angel of the Lord's presence. I said, is that not supposed to be God himself? And this is why many times you see some of the manifestations that you see. But here's why I said all these stories. The Lord gave me an assignment. And he said, every city, every nation, and every continent that I will send you to. Now be sensitive, please. That in that congregation, there will always be a group of people that the light that came from me to you, you must transfer part of that light to them. I have not failed in this assignment once. This is why you heard me pleading with you and say, please help them. You see what is happening, my God. Please bring them out. Help them. So tonight, people of God, I am not just coming to do a man of God thing. No, I am sent. There is a mandate and there is an assignment. And it's an honor to bring this light that came from heaven to the plateau. The light that will ignite men. The light that will call men into supernatural dimensions of ministry. Aside from the healings and the miracles, hear me. That light that came from His Majesty. Hear me. There are people in this place this night. There will be wells of the prophetic that will be opened afresh again. Some of you have seen this day in your dreams. Some of you have seen it in visions. For some of you, it's not new. You know what I'm saying. God already showed you that one day you will be standing face to face with destiny. Please, wherever you are, lift your voice in 1 minute. Cry from the depth of your heart. Let this be my night of visitation. Lift your voice and pray. Just, you will never be the same. The church on the plateau, you will never be the same. I bring you grace from the throne. I bring you fire from His majesty. Are you praying? Forget about what is happening. Focus on Jesus. Pastors, pray. Pray for your ministry. Prayer warriors, pray. Women in ministry, pray. Business people, pray. Politicians, pray. There is a visitation upon the plateau. Hallelujah. Now please listen to me. Please listen to me. We're about to pray. As I came in a bit late. And as I sat here, I saw standing just at that screen, there was a large angel standing there, right here, standing there. And I saw them holding vials of oil. And I knew immediately, I knew the significance of what I was seeing. And I'm praying because the Spirit of God and the angelic, there are impartations. The front is filled. You don't have to bring people out again. Please, just help them wherever you are. In 1 minute, wherever you are, I'd like you to pray. Every grace that you know that is available, that you need for your life, for business, for ministry, please lift your voice and pray. Call it by faith. Call it by faith. Call it by faith. Your ministry is about to step into a new level. I assure you, it won't be ministry as usual. The God of miracles, your business, your spiritual life. There are many of you, God is calling you a new order of prayer and intercession, a new order of fastings, new dimensions of revelation, new levels of the prophetic. Don't be tired of praying. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Please let me have your attention. May I request, respectfully speaking, Reverend Akila, if we can have 7 of the pastors and the leaders, just 7 as you would select. I want them to come and stand with me prophetically here. We are going to pray over the church on the plateau in unity. And we are going to say, Lord, let this be a new season. We are standing prophetically. Okay, please. 7 at least let there be one woman, if it's possible, please, who represents the gates. We are going to pray. Something must happen in this land. Hali shalako branda gatosiata. All of you, don't keep watching, just keep praying. We are praying for plateau. Forget about the sick, forget about all of this. We are praying, it's a new season. We are going to stand in unity, regardless of doctrinal differences, regardless of the challenges we have here and there. They are too small a reason. Hear me, plateau. There is much that God wants to do. Divided we truly fall. It is in unity that we stand. The days of celebrity Christianity is over. We must stand as one people in the name of Jesus and lift up that banner of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now watch this. Hold on, please. This is what we are going to do. Everyone inside the overflow, those following from whatever nation, we are going to pray for our global audience. But for now, the attention is on the plateau. God's own state, a state He has so exalted, yet to come into its prophetic destiny. But we are standing as servants of God to say, no longer will it remain a prophetic word far there. We have come to give it life, that it starts from now. Some of you have seen it. You prophesied it in your churches and your groups, that a day will come when God will move this way. We cannot prolong anymore. It's time to fulfill prophecy. Some of our fathers prophesied it on the plateau and went to be with the Lord without seeing it. Let it happen in our lifetime. Maranatha, come. Hallelujah. Now, this is what will happen. I will just allow one or two of our fathers to just pray and make decrees on behalf of all of us. And then we will stand in unity and speak over the church in plateau, tearing down the walls of divide, tearing down the walls of spiritual unseriousness. And we are going to pray that the fire from heaven will fall upon the church in plateau, that on the streets, in businesses, in government, in parliament, from the government house to every ministry, every parastatal, let there be an invasion of the life and the power of Jesus. We have to pray for the destiny of our children. We cannot lose the children in plateau to drugs. We cannot lose the children in plateau to violence and all kinds of occultism. It's time to take back what God has given to us. Are you in agreement? Open your mouth and begin to pray.
Jesus. Oh, city of Jaws. Oh, plateau. The sons of the strangers devour you no more, desecrate you no more. Oh, city of Jaws. Oh, plateau. Take your place once again. Take your place once again. Let revival break forth from the city of Jaws to the nations of the world. Do it, Jehovah. Do it, Jehovah. Do it, Jehovah. Watch over your word and perform your word. Amen. Plateau, the land of hills and valleys and standing waters, your enemies will never sit on you anymore. Your enemies will never take your land anymore. Your enemies will never laugh at you anymore. The destinies that have been trapped on the land of plateau shall be set free. God Almighty is going to set us free. Plateau shall be free. The name of plateau shall be heard all over the world. The children of plateau will be performers of miracles and wonders.
because the God of Israel is with us. God bless you all.
Praise the Lord. Now, we're conserving time, but it's an honor to stand with a few of the representatives, the ministers, fathers, veterans in the gospel. Now, please listen very carefully. I want to make this decree in the name of the Lord. I stand here only by the election of grace, but I want us to believe as we make these declarations. Hallelujah. Father, we declare, standing in faith as the church upon the plateau, let the days of fighting and division come to an end now. Let the days of ill speakings, tearing down one another based on tribal sentiments, let it come to an end now in the name of Jesus. We stand in faith and corporately as a church, we repent of anything that is giving Satan legal access over the plateau. We plead the blood of Jesus on the plateau. We plead the blood of Jesus over every altar that is speaking against the destiny of Plateau State. Let mercy triumph over judgment. For the Bible declares, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turning from their wicked ways, he says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. We declare Plateau be healed in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare, O earth, hear ye the word of the Lord. Yield your increase to the inhabitants of this state. All of the over 17 local governments, I hope I'm right, we declare, let revival fire from this point spread all through in the name of Jesus. Every local government, may God raise men and women of fire. We pray for all the churches, we pray for all the prayer groups, all the mission agencies, all the platforms that lift up the name of Jesus. Fresh impartation upon them. We're still praying. We pray for the government and all the politicians here represented. We pray for our traditional rulers. In the name of Jesus, may they be advised by right people. Every counsel of Ahithophel, we conquer, we come against it in the name of Jesus. Father, the spirit of untimely death that is eating people up on the plateau, in the name of Jesus, we banish that spirit forever. The spirit of poverty and hardship eating up the destinies of people, regardless of their education, regardless their exposure, we declare that that spirit comes under judgment in the name of Jesus. Father, once again, let mantles return to the plateau. Once again, let apostles rise from the plateau. Once again, let evangelists rise from the plateau. Once again, let prophets rise from the plateau. Hear me. Whoever has vowed that over his dead body for plateau to rise, I command the earth to open and swallow them. I'm saying it by the apostolic and the prophetic. Any human agent in fraternity with darkness that has vowed that this state will not rise, we release a sword of judgment. Let the earth open and swallow them. Father, let the gospel of Jesus Christ not die on the plateau. In the name of Jesus, as our fathers who have gone ahead of us, some of them have died, some of them have a few more years, they are wrapping up their stay. Lord, raise younger people
Let there be succession. Let there be transference of graces. Raise younger people, younger evangelists, people of integrity, people of character, people of fire, in the name of Jesus. Now listen, the national anthem of Nigeria says that the labor of our heroes past should not be in vain. It's not just a political statement, it is also a spiritual statement. Let it not be that the labor over the gospel in this land, Plateau has survived so much, and Africa as a continent has survived so much. Therefore, we make decree, Lord, remember the blood of those who have died for the gospel. Remember the blood of those who were killed serving you. Remember the blood of the martyrs on this land, because you are a covenant keeping God. Let their blood not be in vain. In the name of Jesus, we command greater dimensions of development on the plateau. We command jobs for our young people. In the name of Jesus, I pray for the businessmen on the plateau. May the grace of God rest upon you. In the name of Jesus, there are three spirits that I'm trusting will crush out of the plateau. Number one is the spirit of drunkenness. Number two, listen to me, I'm saying this respectfully, the spirit of irresponsibility among young people. And number three, the spirit of lateness is a cause to do things too late. Are we together? 40 years, 50 years still in your father's house, 60 years still not established. In the name of Jesus, let the spirit of drunkenness, drugs, and all kinds of ills and vices, we banish it from the plateau. In the name of Jesus. Number two, the spirit that makes young people to not be responsible. In the name of Jesus, we command that spirit out of our territory. And number three, we pray. Some of our parents in their 20s were already doing exploits in ministry and in business. There were people who were heads of state in this nation in their early 30s. There is no the spirit of lateness, a snail-like achievement. Please, men and women of God, let's take this prayer request back to our altars and let us pray it. It must leave the plateau. Again, we declare the spirit of lateness in this city, we banish you forever. And in the name of Jesus, the same way we are standing here, by faith, we make a declaration. Anybody who will divide the church, anybody who will bring enmity among the church, we banish them from this city. In the name of Jesus. Please listen to me. The days of church fighting church, pastor fighting pastor, we have agreed that there are many people who need to grow. We have agreed that we are not at the same spiritual level. But let me tell you, be patient and allow people grow. Are we together now? When you see something wrong with your fellow man of God, pray for them, support them. You hear that armed robbers came to steal from a church, don't rejoice and clap and say it didn't come to my church. Don't make the mistake of Esther. Mordecai gave her a warning and said, don't you think if they finish with the Jews you will be spared? She wanted to make the mistake of Vashti. We are the body of Christ. The pain of one is the pain of everyone. If only one church is growing and the rest are suffering, it is a loss to everybody. No single church, no matter how accurate, has the ability to single-handedly bring the global harvest. It will be a corporate activity. So whether you have 10 members or 2,000 members or 1,000 members, we must have mutual honor to ourselves. Do not disregard those producing results. They are not producing results by mistake. Honor them for the results they command. Do not downplay the fathers. They deserve their honor. Don't say this is orthodox. This is Pentecostal. Pentecostal charismatics, be careful. Let's stop insulting our fathers in what we call the orthodox churches. They may not be filled with the Holy Ghost, as you know. They may not bring revelation, but there is wisdom. They have lasted more than many young people. Respect them for what they have. Don't go around using revelation and anointing to insult the fathers. Some of these men have labored for the gospel. They may not be able to speak well, but they deserve our honor. And hear me, if you have gone ahead to offend any father of faith here, go and look for him and apologize. We are not acting this thing. If it's real revival we are looking for, these are the steps that lead to Bible-based apostolic revival. Are we together? Let me challenge everyone not to demean you, but congregations, please pray for your men of God. Please respect everyone who names the name of Christ, carrying the gospel. Every man or woman, heads of mission agencies, heads of churches, you have no idea on the attack that the average man faces. All of these servants of God will tell you, some of them the attack is on their children. Some of them the attack is on their health. While you are sleeping, your pastor is awake praying. While you are eating, he's fasting. We must banish sarcasm from the plateau. If you hear that a man of God is sick and is in jute, don't celebrate and say, I always didn't like him. You should rush there, whether you are a church member or not. I hear you're a minister of the gospel and you are not feeling fine. I may not know you, but on behalf of me and my wife, let me pay for the bill. Let me tell you this. If we carry this spirit, there will be no room for the devil to destroy us here. And let me say this finally. I apologize for keeping you here, sirs. For those of us that God has trusted with a bit of revelation, look up. There is a word of caution. Knowledge can puff up. For some of us who are opening to a bit of visions, a bit of prophecy, a bit of miracles, we are usually the ones who go around with our small world insulting people and mentoring young people to tear down others. Don't do that. Let the abundance of knowledge not bring pride. Let it bring humility and submission. So be cautioned. Prayer groups, different para-ministry agencies, do not sit down tearing down people. No, don't do that. If God opens your eyes and you see dimensions that a church should be entering into and they are not yet entering into, go on your knees and pray for them. God, open their eyes to see that light. Do not teach the young people to rebel. Rebellion does not bring glory to God. It was that sin of rebellion and treason that threw Lucifer from heaven to where he is. Let us not make that mistake. Lucifer has taught us that lesson already. Hallelujah. Again, we declare the church on the plateau is united. This is what I want you to do. After this conference, I'd like you to use your social media handles and say a united plateau. Not just politically, but even spiritually. Write it. This conference, I permit you to do it now. We're advocating a united plateau. Regardless, church, whatever it is, we stand in unity in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your... Can you sing it for me? Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease when we are your instruments of peace. We declare this prayer over plateau in the presence of the servants of God and in the presence of God's people, let this dream and this prophetic word come to pass. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, sirs. Thank you. Let's honor them. Someone please stand to hold their hands while they go. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma. Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Are you tired? Praise the name of the Lord. Can you lend me 10 minutes? Do I have 10 minutes with you? So that we'll pray. If I don't have a chance to pray for the sick and we stop here, I still feel fulfilled. Because God has done something that is more prophetic than you see. Praise the name of the Lord. But I need to at least pray for the sick. This is our last session. We may not take testimonies, but let's declare over the sick. And then we're about to pray for the requests. Praise the name of the Lord. This is the time you now pray. Lift your voice and pray. Father, everything I have written here, in the name of Jesus, I wave it goodbye forever.
Water you turn into wine.
Help me.
Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you.
Pray.
None like you. Into the darkness, say. Into the darkness we shine. Out of the ashes. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no
of the Lord. Now, no matter how we minister to people, we see in parts. But this is the most accurate representation of everyone's desire here. If there are still people bringing it, we have just a few seconds. Please do it quickly. I'm not standing here as one who is better than anyone by any means. Not at all. It is a privilege of the election of grace. But hear me. I dare to tell you that I have a covenant of answered prayer with God. The Lord left me a covenant, and this is why we do what we're doing. I assure you in the name of the Lord that if God be God, everything you drop here, if it's to live your life, it must live your life. If it's to come into your life, it must come into your life. In the next 1 minute, wherever you are, stretch your hands to this request and begin to pray. Father, the end comes. The end comes. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Sheke pakata barato sikata. Skata baranda kata pradegatiash. Lekate bros koto barutasya. Miracles, oh God. Miracles, oh God. Shepakata pakata pradokoto batia. In the name of Jesus. Turn impossible situations around. And if our God is for us, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand? And if our God,
if our God is for
us,
and if our God,
if our God,
if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God, if our God
God in your power. Arise in your majesty. Work miracles in the life of your people.
Then what can stand before God?
Hallelujah. Please agree with me. I want you to agree with me as I pray with a loud amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that every impossible situation represented here, we turn it into a testimony now. We turn them into testimonies now. Every barren situation receives an answer from heaven now. Every terminal disease receives an answer from heaven now. Hear me. In the name of Jesus, prophetically I stand on this request and I declare the way I'm standing on it now, every trouble that is above you, I bring it under your feet now. Please believe it. Please believe it. I bring it under your feet now. Some of you are writing this for your loved ones. They are not here. May the angel of the Lord's presence, wherever they are across this nation, across the globe, may their miracles follow them till it finds them. Hear me. Every request here about the salvation or the transformation of a child, a husband, a wife, I declare, the goodness of God that leads men to repentance, may it follow those individuals till they are saved. Every spirit that is back of the tragedies represented here, we banish that spirit and we command it to live forever. The same way you have written these requests, that is the same way you will write down their answers. Hear me. Any man in partnership with the gates of hell to see that these requests do not come to pass, tonight we release the sword of judgment all across this city. Let me pray for those who have written requests here. Listen. We are not irresponsible people. I know that for many people, at least 50 or 60% of the prayer requests here, I know by wisdom and I know by prophecy that they have to do with finances. Is that true? Because the pandemic has dealt a great blow even to the state and to the welfare of other people. Any Christianity and any spiritual advocacy that neglects the well-being of the people is an irresponsible one. Whilst we are heavenly conscious, whilst our attention remains over the things of the spirit, we cannot be so careless as to ignore the pain that this pandemic has brought. Every time there was a pandemic, it took prophecy to bring the territory out of financial troubles. Let me prophesy like Elisha in the name of Jesus. Over everyone who has gone down, you've lost money in business, you've lost money in investments, something went wrong with your finances. By the God of heaven and by the spirit of prophecy, come out of that financial situation. Come out of that financial situation. Come out of that financial situation. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There are times when we have the privilege of listening to the news or talking with a few of your politicians in this city, and one of the popular statements on the plateau is Bakudi.
Why is this project not happening? There's no money for it. Let me tell you this. There is a mystery that made the raven to get bread and bring to Elijah at Brook Cherith. I stand by the privilege of the apostolic and the prophetic. By a means that we may not be able to explain, may God send financial help to the plateau. We attract investors in their tens and their hundreds. Very strategic programs that not just empower a few individuals, they will empower people from the grassroots to the highest level. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please hear me. There are still undeveloped land in this city. Am I right? It is called Plateau the Beautiful, and there are no sentiments about it. I don't know anything that does not grow here, except you don't plant it. May God raise investors. I am saying it again. Who will make this place become one of the agricultural hubs of this nation and even Africa? In the name of Jesus Christ. We pray wisdom upon the government. May God give them the grace and the wisdom to manage the available resources. In the name of Jesus Christ. If 5 loaves and 2 fish fed 5,000 people, then we speak to the reserves of Plateau. Be multiplied to feed everyone. Be multiplied to build roads. Be multiplied to rehabilitate schools. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone here who is in politics and governance, first, we salute you and we appreciate you for your courage. We salute you and we appreciate you. Doesn't matter what party, I'm not a politician at all. We salute you and we appreciate you. But then we encourage you in the name of the Lord. And we pray that the Lord will help you, whether as commissioners, whether as the judiciary, as workers in government, in the name of Jesus. Probably some of them are following, some of them are watching here. We pray for the grace and the courage to do what is right. We pray that you be governed by the fear of the Lord. We pray that you be governed by conscience. We pray that you be governed by a sense of posterity. May God grant us grace to do what our children will be proud of tomorrow. In the name of Jesus Christ. The temptation for self-centeredness, the temptation for me, myself, and my tribesmen, in the name of Jesus, we banish, we declare grace to conquer that temptation. Plateau State is for all of us. And until we all rejoice, we are not yet there. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let me speak over the sick and the final impartation. Our time is gone. I sincerely apologize. If you are trusting God for a miracle in your body, wherever you are, please lay your hands there. You don't have to come out. You just lay your hands. Please. Lay your hands. If it's a part of your body you cannot touch, please do well to just place your hand on your chest. I believe in miracles. Yesterday, our worship people sang, thank you. Please burn it. Please burn it. Some of the things there are private and personal, and you can do well to set them on fire. The same way it is burning, that's how every devil that stands against you will roast to death in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, there are people standing here with terminal diseases. Others standing here with death sentences. I see some of you lifting photos of your loved ones who probably are in the hospital. Lord, you are a miracle God, a miracle worker. We have talked so much about that. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, even for those of you standing, I see you, those standing at the overflow, standing on the trucks, we are seeing you. I'd like you to believe even as we pray. In the name that is above all names, every spirit
that is back of any infirmity, we sanction you by the word of the Lord, and we declare your power broken over every sick one here in Jesus' name. Be delivered right now in the name of Jesus. Now I declare every infirmity, every disease, from the crown of your head even to the soles of your feet, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Peptic ulcer, be healed in the name of Jesus. Everyone here with sickle cell anemia, we change that genotype now. We change that blood group now in the name of Jesus. Please believe it. Every kind of cardiovascular challenge, we correct it now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Every kind of blindness, partial blindness, complete blindness, be healed now in the name of Jesus. Migraine headaches, be healed in the name of Jesus. Deafness on one or both of your ears, we command them open now in the name of Jesus. Everyone here who is barren, it doesn't matter what the reason is, according to the time of life, return as a joyful mother of children. High blood pressure, we curse you now in the name of Jesus. Sugar diabetes, we curse you in the name of Jesus. Every kind of malignant growth around your body, lumps around the breast area, fibroids around the abdominal area, we command you shrink and die now in the name of Jesus. HIV, be healed now in the name of Jesus. Cancers of all sorts, ulcers of all sorts, be healed now in the name of Jesus. Heart palpitations, in the name of Jesus, be healed now. I'm seeing someone, you get so dizzy, you can't even stand in the sun for a few minutes, you begin to gasp. It's like your breath is leaving you. The Lord is healing you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Was it yesterday or today? The Lord healed a lady with the issue of blood. I'm seeing many people having those kinds of irregularities. In the name of Jesus, be healed right now. Every kind of bone condition, every kind of bone condition that has led to any sort of deformity whatsoever, be corrected now in the name of Jesus. And let me declare over you, if there is anyone here that the spirit of death is upon, and the devil is already planning that it will be said about you, survived by, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command death to pass over you. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Whether I mention your case or not, in the name of Jesus, be healed right now. And the sickness that leaves you, even after this conference, this crusade, may it never return to you in Jesus' name. For those of you who are standing in for your loved ones, holding their photos, lifting their faces on your phones, I can see them. In the name of Jesus, may the power that raised Christ from the dead visit them in the hospitals, bringing healing and perfect soundness. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now please open your heart for the impartation. This will be my last session and we're done. I believe in impartation. When Saul lost his father's donkey, the Bible says they could not find the donkey, and all three of them went in search of a prophet called Samuel. And then the Bible declares that when they met Samuel at the gate of the city, Samuel said, "You go up and I will tell you what is in your heart."
Listen. As soon as Saul met Samuel, three things happened. Number one, the donkey that was missing for a very long time mysteriously found its way. There is restoration with the prophetic. It can restore. Let me speak to you. Everything you have lost, relationships, finances, mantles, possibilities, your job, by the God of heaven and here at this crusade, in the name of Jesus, I declare supernatural restoration. Hear me. If you have the faith to believe, I declare that 90 days from now, within 3 months, by the God of heaven, like it happened when the ark of God was taken to the house of Obed-Edom, it was in 3 months God turned the life of that family around. In 3 months, may God bring supernatural restoration. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Samuel told Saul that the donkey you have been looking for has been found. Blessing number two. He said, on your way returning, you will meet three strangers holding 2 loaves of bread. They will salute you, that is honor, and they will give to you, that is favor. Let me speak over your life. The proof of favor is not money. The proof of favor is the loyalty of the hearts of men. In the name of Jesus Christ, both honor and favor, may my God allow it rest on your life now. Honor gives you visibility. Favor gives you access. Honor gives you visibility. Favor gives you access. I prophesied, honor gives you visibility and favor gives you access. Number three. Now, you don't have to bring anyone under the anointing out, whether you're an usher or not. If anyone falls under the anointing, just help them where they are so they don't hurt themselves. It says you will come to the garrison of the Philistines. That when you come there, a grace you did not leave home with will return with you. And when they saw Saul prophesying, they said, is Saul also one of the prophets? Listen to me. Impartation is powerful. It has been abused. But when the anointing is administered within the jurisdiction of balance and scripture, it can work wonders in the life of the recipients. I am a product of many anointings. There is a grace for speed. There is a grace. Listen. I want to release that grace. That in 1 year, a man can achieve what in a decade he's not been able to achieve. I pray for you. I stretch my hands from my right to my left, from the front to the back. My God and my King and my Savior, upon someone in this place, help them please. May the grace for speed come on you. Take that grace. Take that grace. Take that grace. Supernatural achievements on the plateau. In the name of Jesus, speed in business, speed in ministry. In the name of Jesus, receive that grace. Hear me. There is a grace for favor. I call it the Esther anointing. Esther chapter 2 and verse 15, the B part. It says, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Esther chapter 2 verse 17. And the king loved Esther more than all the virgins, and he made her queen instead of Vashti. Exodus chapter 3 verse 21. I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. I declare by this impartation of favor, the season of emptiness in your life, emptiness in your church, emptiness in your business, emptiness in family, in career, it comes to end in the name of Jesus. Take that anointing. Take that anointing.
Take that anointing. Favor in the morning. Favor in the afternoon. Favor in the evening. In the name of Jesus.
Just help those under the anointing. The last prayer. Because thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. It says, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed you with an oil of gladness that sets you above your fellows. Let me tell you how it works. There is a serious prayer I want to pray for you right now. It's called the Ministry of Destiny Helpers. Listen to me. All blessings come from God through men to men. Please hold on. In this kingdom, who hates you does not matter, but who loves you matters. Do not say men do not matter. All blessings, your prayer requests, some of them written here, some of them, they are in the hands of a man. One signature, help this person. That's it. It can change. Don't downplay men. When you're honoring God as the king seated on the throne, that's fine. But with the dynamics of excelling in the cosmos, you cannot ignore men and rise. My life today is a product of the endorsement, the advocacy of men. There are four kinds of people you will always need in your life. Number one, they are called divine connectors. They cannot help you, but they know who can help you. The slave girl and the king and Naaman. She didn't have the power to help him, but she could take him to a prophet. The key to receiving from divine connectors is discernment. Because many times they will come in a form that you may not appreciate. Number two, you need men of influence. Men who have labored through their track record to become gatekeepers of industries, gatekeepers of mountains. One endorsement. Joseph, I know you can interpret dreams, but until Pharaoh calls you, you will remain in the prison. The Bible says, and the king sent for Joseph, and they brought him out of his dungeon. You need men of influence. If the body of Jesus Christ, your Jesus, was hanging on the cross there, no prayer warrior's prayer could bring it down. It took a man of influence called Joseph of Arimathea, who used his influence with the government of the day to bring the body of Jesus down. You need men of influence as a pastor, as a businessman, as families. Number three, you need gifted men. Gifted men will minimize wastages in your life. You need men of skill. David was a man of skill. He didn't just kill Goliath because he was anointed. The Benjamites, historically speaking, were people who had mastered the art of the sling. It was said they could divert arrows with a sling. You need skillful people. One skillful man, dear business people, will save you from paying salaries of 100 people without results. You need gifted people. The greatest corporations in the world are full of very gifted people. Maximum output. Output that justifies the resources committed. And then number four, still talking of destiny helpers, you need burden bearers. There are people who will be in your life not for your going forward, but to keep you from going backward. They are called burden bearers. Woe betides a leader who does not have burden bearers in your dark days. If you are Jesus and you do not have Simon of Cyrene, you may not get to Golgotha, even though you are Jesus. There are many leaders who have served people for years, but all they had in their lives were gifted people who were taking. And when days came when they needed help, there was nobody. Burden bearers are not looking for your money. They are not looking for anointing. Their assignment is to be with you there. Ruth told Naomi, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. If we die, we die here. Burden bearers do not stand with you alone. They die with you. This is a message already. Because I'm going to speak it over your life. There are CEOs right now. You had all kinds of people. But when your company plunged down, they left you alone. Where were the 5,000 people that Jesus fed when he was on the cross?
Where were the recipients of his miracle? Where was the woman with the issue of blood when he was on the cross? They even preferred to release a criminal. There are many parents today who serve people, raise people in their homes. Many people came from the villages. They went down to university, but in old age, they're alone. There is nobody to stand by them. They are sick in the hospital and they are at the mercy of doctors and nurses. You need the prayer I'm praying for you. So that when I declare destiny helpers, I'm talking of divine connectors. I'm talking of men of influence. I'm talking of gifted people. And I'm talking of burden bearers. Are you ready to receive? In the name of Jesus, these four groups of helpers, I stand by the God of heaven and I declare over you, especially as leaders, spiritual leaders, political leaders, business leaders, may they show up even in this season in the name of Jesus. May they show up in this season in the name of Jesus. Now I pray for you. There is a grace for signs and wonders. There is a grace that grants you the unction to pray. Many of you, it was not like this when you started with God. But as it is, your prayer life has gone down. And this affects even preachers. Your word life, your fire for God. When you started, it was not this way. You could fast and pray, but some of you, the distractions of life. Some of you may be children. I want to pray a rekindling of fire. Those days on the plateau, they used to sing a song, "Do not let my light go cold. I'm crying out, light the fire again." I pray for you. Anyone whose spiritual life has gone down, listen, even if you receive money, even if you receive political titles, if your spiritual life is down, you are not all right. I pray for you. Fresh fire upon your prayer altar. Fresh fire upon your prayer altar. The grace to pray. The grace to fast. The grace to intercede. The grace to take God serious. Receive it in the name of Jesus. The grace and the courage to edit wrong associations. I decree and declare. Don't say we've been like that. Anybody who will not be a contributor to kingdom come, nor the betterment of your destiny, I separate you from them forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, return back with signs, grace for signs and wonders. Return back with the grace to heal the sick. Return back with the grace to raise the dead. Return back with the grace to cast out demons. I agree by faith with every man of God here. The next time you climb your altar, fire upon that altar. Evangelistic fire, healing fire, deliverance fire, in the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Now let me make the altar call. I believe in Jesus. And I believe he's the only one who is able to save. You have stood for long. We have tabernacled in this place. Right from Saturday. 2 sessions on Sunday. 1 session yesterday night. The final session this night. And even though we have celebrated unprecedented manifestations of salvation, the Bible lets us know that every time God's people are gathered, there are always people who are sent. The Lord himself sends daily as many as should be saved. Tonight is our final night until we meet another time. But give me the honor of making this one last call. Some of you are standing on the truck. I see you outside the fence. Some of you are in the overflows. Some of you are right in this space outside. And whilst you heard me teach, the Holy Ghost kept convicting you that it's time to make it right with Jesus. What shall it profit a man, the Bible says, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I'm about to make a very serious altar call for 2 groups of people. Number one, those who are committing themselves to Jesus for the first time. Number two, those who are saying, "Apostle, I have been with the things of God, but for some reason my life has gone haywire." Please, let's minimize movement. There's still one more important announcement I'll make after this.
But wherever you are, we have just 2 minutes for you. Use this opportunity and do not lose out. I'd like you to leave your seat and I want you to run as I count 1 to 5. Please come and stand here. It's time to make it right with Jesus. Whilst we celebrate you with a hand clap, unashamedly, leave your friends, your family, and come and stand. You don't have to kneel. Please stand for space. Just, are we celebrating what Jesus is doing? One. Please run and stand here.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Two.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, have your way. Lord, have your way.
Four. Are you coming?
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you. Alone, every
quickly,
that
if you're
I
joining
take,
them, please hurry up. Please hurry up.
Every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way.
Lord, have
your way in me.
Now, thank you very much, all of you. Keep coming. Those who are coming, come very quickly. This is our last session together. It is a noble thing. Just suspend filling the form for a minute as I leave you to pray. The Bible says, there is no name under heaven given unto man by which we must be saved. As I lead you to pray this prayer, please lift your right hand and I'd like you to repeat after me loud and clear. Jesus is here. You're not reciting a poem. Jesus is in our midst. Say after me, Lord Jesus. One more time, say, Lord Jesus. I love you with all my heart. Tonight, I have heard your word. I believe that you are Lord, you are Savior, you are King. I hand over my life completely to you in exchange for your own life. Therefore, I declare from tonight that the power of sin, of Satan, is broken over my life forever. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I receive the gift of righteousness, the abundance of grace, and I declare that from tonight and forever, I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, we thank you. It's an honor again to present these ones as trophies to you. We thank you because no man who comes to you goes back the same. Lord, I pray by the authority of Scripture that their sins are forgiven. I declare that the Lord gives you a new beginning from tonight. In the name of Jesus, I declare that the power of sin, the power of Satan is broken over your life. That you begin a new walk with God. I administer the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Let it garrison your heart. In the name of Jesus. From today you go from glory to glory. And from grace to grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please now look up, all of you. I know that our time is fast spent. I apologize. But then I would request there a few counselors waving their hands. You'll see them waving their hands. All of you in concert. Please move to my left, which is your right, and they'll receive you. You'll complete your form, have a few information, and you'll be back. God bless you. Let's celebrate them once they go. Please lend me 2 minutes, and we're done. I have to do this. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, while I was preparing to just come finish the final session, a thought came to my heart, and I was really, really touched, and I made up my mind that it will start with me. This conference is held right from Saturday up until now, and I hope you're not embarrassed, Pastor, you and your wife, but the Lord put it in my heart that it would not be fair to finish this conference and even this crusade without having a way to appreciate Reverend Akila. It is one thing to have a conference for your church, but it's another thing. I don't know how many of you heard so much talk about the 19th anniversary. It's like he shelved everything away. It is because of his sacrifice that Plateau has received this dimension of grace. Hallelujah. And honestly speaking, we are people of integrity and we love God, but this continued to burn in my heart. And I want us to do something in 2 minutes. If you do not believe what I'm saying, that's all right, that's fine. But I made up my mind that I'll be the first person myself, and a few people who God will convict in their heart to join me. I want us to sow a seed of honor, not to the church, but to the life of this servant of God and his wife. This is, I fear God, and I will not tell you to do what I do not teach. I know that there are all sorts of manipulations when it has to do with finance. We fear God. But this is something that the Lord put in my heart. I just felt it in my heart. I hope you're not embarrassed, sir and ma'am, please. I will be the first to do it. And this is not some launching, announcing money, no. But if I advocate this and I finish and drop the mic, it means I'm a hypocrite. Praise the name of the Lord. This man has truly stood with God to make prophecy happen. We were here, I think, in the morning after the first service. I watched a crane, a big crane, pick about a 150 kVA gen to bring it here. And I was just looking. I said, Pastor, you mean you kept doing this to make sure that this meeting, I understand that some of these things came down from as far as Lagos. And I know that Pastor is a man that God has helped, and he's under a ministry and a structure that is a very responsible one. But we owe a responsibility. We are connecting by sowing that seed of honor. And I'm not going to mention any amount, but this is what I'm going to tell you. For the fear of God and for the love of God, and to practice that which we have taught about honoring those who do well. Even the Bible tells us that the leaders that rule well be accounted for double honor. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, whilst you are seated, for the pastors here especially, some of our dignitaries and everybody, it's not the issue of this man has money. No, some of you are falling online. I'm not saying to raise funds for me, not at all. This man and his precious wife, his account number. But then, I want us to do that now. Some of you may want to meet him in the office. Some of you may not have the opportunity to meet him. But let me speak to everyone. Here in this ground, the overflows across the plateau, following by way of our social media platforms and then across the globe, that as far as this conference and then this crusade is concerned, this man, Reverend Akila, and his dear wife and the family, by extension, the entire ministry, they are worthy of our honor. And so the first honor is to be sure that at least you are able to send a text to say thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing God come through your platform, shelving your personal agenda as far as the ministry work is concerned, to let Jesus be glorified. And then number two, please find a way to honor this dear man and his wife. I know the sacrifices that are spent. Sometimes we stay in the office up till late, and I really, really appreciate them. So please, are we in agreement on this? Praise the name of the Lord. So that can happen immediately after the grace or right after. I don't want to have to drop offering baskets to distract us. Finally, I want to say thank you to Plateau the Beautiful. Thank you for your honor. Thank you, every man, every woman of God. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayer. Reverend Akila, thank you. Thank you for the trust. I thank the leadership of House on the Rock, Joss, the entire body of Christ across the plateau. I know and trust that God will grant us grace. And I hope that by this conference, at least the narrative that I do not come home would have been corrected a bit. I look forward to God granting grace again to come back again and again and again and again. May God bless you and good night to all of you.
Come on, celebrate the servants of God. Hallelujah. Just a few reminders before I bring up. Please be seated. Please be seated. By way of announcement, we have buses which will make sure.